Wednesday. Welcome in to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we just want to thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple or Spotify so you never miss a new episode. Go ahead and follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram, and write us a review and let us know what you think of the show. All right. We have a little bit of a different sort of episode in store for you today. Here in the final days of February, we wanted to take some time to recognize and celebrate Black History Month here on CUSA Insider. So I have two very special guests with me today, two CUSA staff members actually joining us to talk about Black History Month here at Conference USA. So I want to introduce you to Austin Dismond, our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Coordinator. We can call it DEIB for short. Austin spent last year here with us at CUSA as our postgraduate intern, and we liked him so much that we just couldn't let him walk out of the door. So we created a position for him, a very important position, I might add, and brought him on full time. So Austin, we are excited to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here. Happy to still be on board with Conference USA and happy to be on the podcast.
We're happy to have you too. And then the next person I want to introduce is Shatara Taylor, our office manager with us, who keeps things running smoothly around here at the Conference USA headquarters. And a fun fact, Shatara was actually my very first intern. So we go way back to the Northern Texas PGA, and sometimes she likes to watch my kids. So I really appreciate her on several levels. So Shatara, thank you so much for having or for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, let's just go ahead and get right into it. The first thing I have right out of the gate that I want to ask you both is, why is it so important for us to celebrate Black History Month across all levels of sport, but especially here at the college level?
I think if you just look at the contributions of Black Americans, especially within sport, it's hard to, you know, just flat out ignore the presence that we have within the sport. I mean, on the field, off the field, in administration, in the conference office, you know, there's Conference USA is a great testament to just representation as a whole. We have leadership, senior leadership that is Black. I really feel like if you just look at our contributions and the foundation that we have laid within the sports community, especially in collegiate athletics, it spans across generations and generations. And I can remember growing up and admiring all of the college sports figures that inspired me to want to pursue and work in college athletics and actually be a student athlete myself. So I think it's great to be able to look back, reflect at all of the progress that we've made over the past several years. And obviously there's still a lot of work to be done. And just making sure that we continue to emphasize the importance of looking back into the past and just being grateful for where we have come from. And hopefully that, you know, shines a light on where we can go into the future. So I'm excited to see what the future looks like for, you know, Black student athletes and Black administrators at the conference level and just in collegiate athletics as a whole. So
awesome. Shatara, do you have anything to add?
You pretty much hit it on the head. Yeah.
I have a question kind of for both of you. Obviously, if anyone has looked me up at any point, I am not Black, but I kind of want to get your perspectives on the fact that you guys came in here to Conference USA. You interviewed with several people and you mentioned it, Austin. We do have a very diverse office. How important is that to you guys when you come and you sit down for an interview to see people who look like you in positions of power, I guess, for lack of a better term, here at the conference office?
I think as a young professional in sports, it's important to see where you're going and see that there are already people in those places. I think sometimes it's hard to envision yourself exceeding places if you don't see that on an everyday basis. You need to know what that's like It's kind of hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes unless you kind of have somebody kind of, you know, trailblazing as you work your everyday job or whatever your tasks are. And I think that's one of the things I appreciated about here was because when I originally applied for the job, the first person I was in contact with was our deputy commissioner, Keisha Dunlap, which I can definitely say earlier in my career, I did not encounter a lot of minorities in sports, especially in college sports.
In golf.
Yeah, especially in golf. Little to none in golf, just in all honesty, in all transparency. Yes. So it took having more of a diverse background in different sports to get that representation on my side, at least more football, more basketball, more volleyball, just because we're just not normally in those spaces. It's just not the norm or as it is now. So I think it's makes the transition a little easier as you go from different jobs in the industry, different places, different cities, different sports, different conferences, whether it's collegiate or on a professional level, it makes that a lot easier.
I think that's very well said. And for my personal experience, it was truly everything. As you guys know, I came from a different company and I took a step back and was an intern for an entire year. And obviously that had some financial constraints that were attached to it, but we're here now, we're doing better.
Good. But, I'm glad.
The people here, the culture, the fact that there was representation, there were people that looked like me meant everything. Where I came from, it wasn't necessarily that way, and I didn't necessarily feel like I could bring my authentic self to work. But when you enter an environment where everyone is themselves and that's embraced within the culture, with how people come to work, with how people go about doing their everyday jobs, it really empowers you to bring that to your own area. So it was really everything for me, and it made me want to be a part of what Conference USA was doing. So
I'm gonna piggyback on that one more time. One of the biggest things that's been helpful for me, I would consider this my first quote-unquote like real big girl job. So having people that have been in the industry for a while that look like you also is something like, you know, the longevity of their careers shows that they've been through several transitions and can also give wisdom and advice to what you'll potentially go through as you progress in this industry. And more than that, even just like outside of life, because like, we often talk about like as a staff, we're pretty close as a staff.
Mm-hmm,
It's like a family team dynamic here. So we talk about just everyday life things. We are often comparing the smallest things such as grocery prices.
or where we shop for groceries.
Yes, yes. But just having people help you navigate the small things of like, okay, this is your first big girl job. You're navigating healthcare. You're navigating finances. That's something that was also really, really important to me as a minority for sure.
Awesome. So in Conference USA, you guys both alluded to this. We do have a really good environment here. And we actually just finished this afternoon. We had a Black History Month celebration lunch and a little lunch and learn thing for our staff in the office. And so we really do have an environment here where we can have open and honest conversations on the subject of diversity, inclusion, and things like that, which is why we created a position like yours, Austin, to be able to really facilitate those open and honest conversations. But I know that not every organization has that. So why do you think it is so crucial to not only have these conversations in an office environment like this, but to also bring someone on staff to be able to facilitate those conversations?
I think it's a testament to Judy and our senior staff that they are willing to make a true commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Obviously, we've seen a lot of legislation that's been circulating around the U.S., and a lot of those laws that are now being put in place are affecting our member institutions. So If the individual campuses that our student athletes are on are not able to provide resources and opportunities for our student athletes to feel like they belong, that's where we can step in. So that's really what my goal is, to kind of bridge the gap between campus and athletics, especially when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think the fact that our office is so willing to, you know, take an hour out of their day during the middle of spring, when we have so many sports going on, we have basketball championship coming up. It says a lot about the culture within our office that we would take, you know, precious time out of our days to talk and be vulnerable and share our personal experiences, our own perspectives, you know, to build a better understanding and hopefully build a better future, while also, you know, working to support our student athletes that are on campus.
That's great.
I would definitely agree with that. Another point I want to add is that it's important to know that you are seen and heard in your work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's crucial to your development, because you'll understand that people actually do care in a world where a lot of people don't care.
Right.
And I think that it points to the fact that outside of sports, outside of what we do here, from the time that we're in this building, people still have everyday lives we have to live. Everyone was brought up different. Everyone was raised different. Everyone had a different upbringing. So we all have valuable experiences that we, you know, bring to the table that kind of help shape the culture here as well.
And I think, you know, the concept of diversity, equity, and inclusion, it really impacts everybody. And that's something that I feel like often gets lost in translation, especially when it comes to sports, because often the work that we do in this conference office has to do with athletics. So, you know, once again, taking time out of our day, you know, when we're so heavily focused on athletics and making sure that our championships and our sports are being administered properly, you know, being able to set aside time to talk about Black history, to talk about inclusion and bias and stereotypes and things like that, it goes a long way. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sports in general is inherently very diverse, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it may not have always been that way, but right. over, you know, the last 50 or so years, it's becoming increasingly more diverse. And it's just, it's commonplace. It's what it is, but it's still important to be having these conversations. Because like you said, we all have those inherent biases. Austin did a great activity at our lunch today that
great
helps
job,
teach
Austin.
On this.
Great
I will have to go into that a little bit more at a different time, but it's just so interesting to me to just be able to have those conversations, because I've never been in a place before that does that. And being at a conference office too, it's a little bit different, because on a campus, you have the opportunities to have a Black History Month themed game or whatever it may be. And at the conference level, although we run championships, we don't do the week to week, the day to day game day planning. So we don't have the opportunity to do that as much, but I love that we're still putting a big focus on celebrating Black History Month. Next month, we'll be celebrating Women's History Month. So yeah. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah. Two girls on the podcast today. And so, yeah, I just really appreciate the work that we're doing so far to be able to put those things into practice and to make DEIB conversations more commonplace. So I did want to kind of give our listeners maybe a little bit of insight into how you guys were raised, why this is so important to you, other than the fact that, yes, the color of your skin obviously plays a big role into that. But were there situations or specific things that happened, events that happened to you leading up to this point that makes this conversation so important to you?
Yeah, growing up, I had a pretty interesting relationship with my identity and this concept of Blackness. I was told various things growing up about just how I carried myself, how I talked, the way I articulated certain things. You know, I cared about my education, and, you know, I think because of those things, I was labeled in a box that didn't really fit what I thought I was. you know, I knew I was Black, but everyone, you know, was kind of telling me otherwise, or that I didn't really fit the mold of what a Black person was supposed to be. And that didn't really make sense to me because, you know, you look back on our history and Black people come in all different shapes and sizes. And, you know, we come from all different backgrounds and cultures and things like that. So there's, it didn't really make sense to me to be able to label one thing as being Black and everything else is just something else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something that I struggled with for a long time. Something that I continue to work through as I continue to just create my own understanding of what Blackness means, as opposed to just letting society define it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that takes work. And I think the onus is on us to, you know, better understand Black history and where we come from and just all the things that come into play when we're talking about the uniqueness of an individual. So yeah, I think that really shaped my perception of Blackness from an early age. Yeah.
Yeah. Shatara?
I agree with what he's saying. But as far as upbringing, I had I would say a traditional upbringing as a African American. But as I got older and I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do as far as a profession, I thought I wanted to be a teacher, then realized I was like, okay, I love sports, don't really want to leave it. And I'll never forget when I got to school, my advisor was like, okay, well, you know, just like take some sports journalism classes and see if you like it. And if you don't, you can just go back to education. So I took a few classes, absolutely loved it, fell in love with it. But as I joined different sports related like organizations on campus and such, I realized that more people were on the TV side of sports that were African American as opposed to like the front office side,
okay,
or the operations side, or the, you know, the side that makes the decisions,
yeah,
about what goes on and what happens. So I found that interesting. And I was like, well, no, that's what I want to do. Like, no, like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
That's just, if you know me, that's
against
just,
the grain.
Yes. That's just very much my personality. And so that it may have been easier to go the other way, you know, do broadcasts and such. It's especially now with social media, it's a lot easier to get into. But I was like, no, I want to be able to be a person that has a say off the court, off the field, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that people need to know that you can have your best interest in heart when it comes to student athletes away from those places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a brother that was a student athlete. He played basketball at UT Tyler. And I was just always curious to know how that stuff worked. And even as a minority, I still didn't see it. Like, I just still didn't see people that looked like me. I was just always wondering, always asking questions. So I definitely believe I had to work just a little bit harder to get on the other side of that, get in those rooms that don't have people that are like me. And
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think that what you said really emphasizes the importance of representation, especially mm-hmm. within sports. I can remember not having a lot of Black administrators or mm-hmm. coaches or, you know, just outlets to go to when I was a student athlete back in my undergraduate days. But, you know, just being here at Conference USA and seeing all of these diverse perspectives and people that come from different walks of life, you know, kind of give you something to strive towards and gives you someone to go to whenever you might not know what to do or what direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times those individuals have been in that same position that you currently are in.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of understand where we're coming from. They understand our perspective. And it goes a long way in terms of our own personal progression. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask a loaded question. I'm just preparing both of you now. So you see a lot in especially like the NFL coaching world, sometimes just in the administrative world as well throughout college athletics, that now a lot of coaches in particular are taking the podium and saying, I don't want to hear this I don't see color conversation anymore, because it's important to see color. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, I am the first Black head coach of this organization, or I am the first Black commissioner of this conference. And so I just kind of wanted to get y'all's perspective on that conversation, because I, as a white woman, I thought that this conversation was very interesting, but I don't have the skin color to be able to, I guess, like, really have, I was about to say skin in the game, everyone, which is very funny. I'm just going to say it, to have skin in the game, like, with it. And, but I think it's super important, and it made me think about it even more than I had before. And so I just kind of wanted to get y'all's perspective, your personal perspective on that conversation.
I think that not seeing color is an easy cop out.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excuse. It creates this narrative that there's an equal field, like an equal playing field, mm-hmm. and there's not. It gives this narrative that everybody is on the same level. There's no bias. Everyone has the same chance. Everyone has the same opportunity, but it's just not true. That's mm-hmm. just not the case. Whether that comes out up front or comes out later, you know, like the idea of interviewing head coaches for a job just so that way you satisfy the requirements of the rules of, oh, you need to, and if we are potentially looking at 6 head coaches, we need to interview 3 minorities just to say we did it, knowing in our head that we were never going to hire them.
Yeah.
But just so that way, you know, it doesn't look bad, or, you know, we know from the beginning we're not going to hire these people, but just go through the steps, you know? And I think that it masks people's talents and abilities. And it just doesn't give you the chance to showcase who you are, what you can do as a coach,
mm-hmm.
what you can do as a leader, leading a program, an institution, a school, no matter if that's on the collegiate level or professional sports. I think that it limits people.
Mm-hmm.
It limits their ability to be a good leader, for sure.
And I completely agree with what you have to say. I think it kind of downplays what we have to go through to get
mm-hmm.
to that point.
Right.
I often feel the need to downplay my wins and not really celebrate mm-hmm. my wins, just to, you know, be humble, be thankful.
Sure.
Be
grateful,
mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, we did that. Like, I
yeah.
did that. And
yeah.
that should be celebrated. So to say, oh, I don't see color or whatever, I just feel like it takes away from some of the things that we go through
mm-hmm.
just to, you know,
mm-hmm.
thrive in society.
Yeah.
Because the success is like, it's like magnified when it happens.
Absolutely.
Minorities.
Yeah. yeah.
But what happens if you never even get the chance to get to that point,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I think about for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between like being proud of yourself and being cocky, right? So
right,
that's,
right.
you know, and I mean, while y'all were sitting here talking, I had the thought, if we're not going to celebrate the first Black coach, mm-hmm. the first Black what have you job, enter mm-hmm. job title here, then what's the point of Black history?
Right,
like we
right,
have to historically
right.
like document these mm-hmm. things in order to celebrate them later. So thank you both for sharing that. I did kind of want to ask you just a broader question. What can people do? I know February is almost over, but for next year or for the next couple of days, what can people do in their own lives to celebrate Black History Month?
I'm really big on education and awareness, and I don't think it has to just be limited to February. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
This can yeah. happen throughout the year, and it mm-hmm. should be happening throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
During our conversation today, I kind of talked about how growing up, we would spend 28 or 29 days talking about Black history. And then after that, it was like mm-hmm. we had no other contributions to American
right.
history.
Right.
So I really encourage everyone to take responsibility and just dive into Black history. There's so much to learn. We're all still learning. And I feel like through that process, you can really get to understand the uniqueness behind, you know, Black history and just how ingrained we are within this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think one of the biggest things I've learned, especially from being at Conference USA, is Being a good leader is also about caring about the people that are in your office. And as someone that can see how that is here, I think you have to care about the people in your lives and your coworkers. I think a lot of it is just care, like care enough to understand people, and appreciate the things they've gone through and the things that they're experiencing.
Sure.
Especially as minorities. I think that helps workplace culture to me. I think just a understanding of the people that you're around all the time, definitely.
Yeah. And then, you know, just opening up opportunities to have dialogue. I mean, I talked to Jordan today and he was like, I had no idea, but you know, the more I get to listen to other people's perspectives, the more I understand some of the things that you go through on an everyday basis. I feel like if you're able to have conversations that are engaging and vulnerable like that, a lot comes from it. So
yeah,
you guys talked about the conversations you guys had in 2020 after George Floyd and how that kind of changed the feel of the office, brought everybody closer together. You know, just being able to have those conversations goes a long way in just understanding, you know, what it's like on the other side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the shoe may fit everyone the same way, but the person walking in the shoe doesn't always, doesn't always look the same as you. So just getting to know those perspectives and backgrounds. All right. Final question for you both. Just kind of bringing it back into the sports fold. And I know Shatara, you're very involved with like Black sports professionals and some different organizations like that. So what can young Black people in America who are looking to work in the sports industry do to get more involved, and what maybe like what word of encouragement or advice could you give them?
The biggest piece of advice I would give is to be curious and act on your curiosity. Ask questions. I ask a lot of questions. But if you don't try things and ask questions, then you'll never know. I figured out like midway through college, like, okay, I want to take the road less traveled. So I want experience in sports that most minorities don't touch, like hockey, golf, tennis, just to be well-rounded. Because just because I like watching football and basketball, I may enjoy working in other sports more.
Yeah.
That is a very real thing, because now that I know, golf is so peaceful.
Yes, it is.
I never in a million years would have guessed that I liked golf. I love it. It's just, the course is just so peaceful.
It is.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. But I would just be curious. Ask people questions. Develop genuine relationships with people. Don't ask people for favors without like knowing them.
Yeah.
You know, just job leads, recommendations. Like, I haven't had a conversation with you in years. Why would I write you a recommendation? Just be genuine with people, be authentic with people, be your real self with people. Yeah. I think that's another thing for young people. We sometimes feel like we have to be and act a certain way, and then once we get in a certain job, that we can kind of be ourselves. Yeah. And that's, I think that's just a real thing, because you just don't know based on your environment. So it takes people a little time to get comfortable. I lucked up because I knew people prior to, but that's not everyone's story.
Yeah.
Everyone has a different journey. But I would also say, like, find community, whether it's, if you're in college, like on campus with other sports organizations. I still believe in like cold emails. So like, look up people at organizations and email them. Like, ask if you can just ask some questions about what they do, their day-to-day, what their job entails. Like, if you're looking for a mentor, like to look over your resume, things like that.
Yeah.
To me, that stuff goes a long way. And that way, when you are ready to apply for those jobs, you have someone that's backing you, you know? So
And I want to say something on that, because from the other end, I've been in the industry for like 8 years, which is really not that long of a time, but it's longer than some people, I guess. And I had a girl messaged me on LinkedIn yesterday. She goes to Oklahoma. She's a student there studying sports management, and we're going to have a Zoom call next week. So people will answer your cold messages. Yeah. They really will. So don't be discouraged to send those. Austin, what do you have to add?
I think, Shatara, that was really good. I think you hit a lot of things right on the head, especially just like being your authentic self. if someone or an organization is not accepting of who you are, that's probably some place that you don't want to work or you should not be working, because they're not going to accept you. They're not going to be accepting of your ideas or your perspectives. So I truly agree with bringing your authentic self to whatever environment you're pursuing. I would also say, just don't sell yourself short. I feel like a lot of opportunities just look out of reach. You never know. You never know. And I always ask myself, why not me? Like, why not me? Why, why am I telling myself that I can't do this before I have even tried, you know? So just, you know, being committed to whatever goal you have in mind and striving for that and figuring out what it takes to get from A to B, has gone a long way, at least in my job progression. So
yeah. Awesome. That I think is a good piece of advice for anyone, not just young Black sports professionals, for sure. Well, both of you, thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of CUSA Insider. You guys can see us again next Wednesday. We have another episode coming out. Our CUSA Bracketology episode will be airing next Wednesday. We are very excited for the close of the 2023-24 hoops season. We already know that the Middle Tennessee women clinched the regular season over the weekend, so they will be the one seed on the women's side, but the men's side, y'all, is still entirely up for grabs. We have no idea what's going to happen, but we will talk all about it next Wednesday. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple and Spotify, wherever you're listening. Give us a follow on social media at CUSA Insider Pod and write us a review. Leave us a couple stars if you're enjoying the program. And you can always reach out to us via email at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, everybody, we will see you again next Wednesday for our CUSA Bracketology episode. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.